Welcome back to Between the Bar Lines. Today we are going to continue our talk about the Italian madrigal, and I wanted to share a few composers and their music that are considered later madrigalists by historians. We learned a few episodes ago that the madrigal began in Italy in the early 16th century as a secular vocal form. But by the late 1500s and early 1600s, the madrigal had evolved into something far more experimental and expressive. Today, we are going to look at three key figures of the later madrigal tradition: Luca Marenzio, Carlo Gesualdo, and Claudio Monteverdi, each of whom took the form in radically different directions. First up, Luca Marenzio, whom we already spoke a little bit about in our earlier episode on Italian madrigals, is often considered the last great madrigalist of the Renaissance proper. Marenzio's works are saturated with expressive word painting and a refined harmonic language. A madrigal I'd like to share with you today by Marenzio is called Solo e Pensoso, based on a Petrarch sonnet. The harmonies wander just as the speaker wanders, alone and thoughtful. Let's take a listen. Of emotion, not in broad strokes, but rather in fine detail. His late madrigals edge closer to the emotional intensity we'll see in our next composer, and that is Carlo Gesualdo. He was a nobleman, and a composer, and also a murderer. Isn't that crazy? Mostly, he was a composer of some of the most harmonically adventurous music of the entire Renaissance. He was born in 1566 into one of the most powerful aristocratic families in southern Italy. So he had wealth, he had status, and he had an ecclesiastical path all lined up. He was even made an abbot as a child. When he was just 23, Gesualdo discovered that his wife was having an affair with another nobleman, and he actually caught both of them in the act and killed them. And here's the twist. He got away with it. Because he was a nobleman, and because honor killings were disturbingly somewhat tolerated in that era, he faced no legal punishment. In the eyes of the law and his peers, he really just restored his family's honor. Anyway, after the murders, Gesualdo isolated himself in a remote castle in southern Italy. He basically withdrew from society. He surrounded himself with musicians and he composed. Gesualdo's madrigals are wild, emotionally volcanic, and deeply unsettling. They swing from ecstasy to agony in a single breath. All of these have harmonic clashes that are crazy. The dissonances stretch unnaturally, and we have these melodies that tangle and just dissolve instead of resolve. In an age that prized smooth polyphony and balance, his music was basically chaos. One of his most famous madrigals, Moro lasso al mio duolo, which translates as I die, alas, in my suffering, is like listening to a confession set to sound. It begins with an almost painful chromatic descent, and every line seems to gasp for breath. Let's take a listen to a little bit of that now. Another one of my absolute favorite madrigals by Gesualdo is his setting of the text of Ovos Omnes. I will attach this one that I'm just speaking about, as well as the snippets that you hear from the other madrigals that I am playing today in the episode notes for you to really take a listen to all of it, because really, this music has transformed, like, overnight, it seems, from the polyphonic works that we know from even earlier in the century or from the century prior. Gesualdo unfortunately fell off the face of the earth after his death, and his music was not very well known. However, in the 20th century, he was rediscovered by composers like Igor Stravinsky, who was captivated by Gesualdo's emotional intensity and harmonic experimentation. Today, Gesualdo is viewed as a visionary, a composer hundreds of years ahead of his time, writing music that sounds more like 20th century music than 16th century. And finally, we have Claudio Monteverdi, the transitional figure who helped shepherd the madrigal into a new era, and in doing so, basically helped end it. Monteverdi believed music should serve the text, even if that meant breaking rules. His madrigals are passionate, often dramatic, and he wasn't afraid to bend the rules of counterpoint to serve emotion. Specifically, in Monteverdi's later books of madrigals, these madrigals verge on operatic music. And it's no coincidence. By 1607, he actually wrote one of the first operas, L'Orfeo. The madrigal would soon be eclipsed by this new form of musical storytelling. And get ready, because we're going to have a bonus episode all about the start of opera, and I'm excited to tell you all about it. The experiments of the later madrigalists paved the way for opera, cantata, and the expressive vocal forms of the Baroque. Their obsession with drama, with emotional depth, with letting the text speak, all of that lives on to this day. And in our next episode, we will continue to talk about how much was actually changing in the late 16th century into the 17th century. This has more to do with the church, the reaction to the Reformation, and the ever-changing harmonic language of music. Join me next episode of Between the Bar Lines.